Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
Well,
you got anything?
Quellen? I'm back in my the blue room. You see, I have all three of my swimming paintings up now. My Mary paintings.
And who painted those? I forget.
A woman now that I swam with in high school, named Mary McGurvey. Her last name is Connor now, and she paints. She does a lot of stuff, but these are all swimmers. And so, you know, she still swims too. So we're both trapped in our obsessions with the water.
Right. Well, there was swimming drama this week. Jenna Friedman made a joke and you retweeted it and the world went mad.
Well, I didn't retweet it. I think I went, Jenna, well, let's go over the because she had Brock Turner, he's a rapist and he was a Stanford swimmer. And he became famous because he raped a woman who was unconscious. And she wrote an incredible letter to the judge or to the court, like explaining what this incident did to her.
The victim, yeah.
Yes. And then she ended up writing a book about her, named Chanel Miller. So she's very talented. I think she did stand-up, too. She said she tried stand-up afterwards, I think, to sort of, which is an interesting way to deal, you know? But anyway, so Jenna, you know, Jenna loves to troll. She's one of my favorite trolls, and she'll tweet stuff that has people go insane for a second because it feels like it could be true. So she tweeted Brock Turner, breaking news, Brock Turner, Stanford student athlete who assaulted unconscious woman, will speak at RNC. And part of what was hilarious is that a lot of people thought it was true, which is to me the mark of great satire, is it was right on the line. But a lot of other people did not like the fact that she mentioned the rape victim in the satire, because it's like, well, you're dredging the shit up for her.
Because in the tweet she mentioned the woman's name?
No. She just mentioned what he did, but he obviously did it to this woman. So,
that's weird. Like, it might have been weird if she would have mentioned her name, but I just thought I was one of the people who thought that it was real. I literally was like,
right.
Oh, they would do that. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, because they have so many other psychotic speakers.
Right.
But I've kind of felt like there's an argument either way of unfortunately it's a public knowledge event. Like, we all know what happened. And mm-hmm. So it's going to come up every once in a while. And at least when it's coming up here, you are again associating the name Brock Turner with rape. You know, that should be his middle and confirmation name now. You know, like,
yes.
Anytime he goes for some sort of job, it's got to be Brock Rape Turner.
Yeah, Brock Rape Turner is applying for a job as an IT guy or whatever the fuck.
Whatever. So that is one consideration. Although
can I just say that I don't want to insult IT guys. Backpedal. Continue. Go ahead.
We're so careful on this podcast.
Well, it's because I have so many friends who are IT guys who are not.
Insult IT guys in the chat room.
Take it to the comments.
Well, the woman didn't say anything either way. But other people spoke either, you know, kind of for her, which, you know, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what when you're writing a joke, you pick your words and you go all in on it, you know, and Jenna was all in on it. And it did what what she likes to do, which is troll people. And it also, you know, the whole point of it was to point out that the RNC, has lots of rapists, and why wouldn't they have this one? And again, the fact that so many people thought it was true kind of made
her. Right. Did she get a lot of feedback from, I mean, like, I don't know how many retweets and likes she got for it, but was
she got a lot of feedback. I got feedback for commenting on hers. I got like DM'd, you know, you got to talk to this lady. So, you know,
You were like, hey, though I have to say that I have done that only because I've tagged people on Facebook and gone, hey, is this, you're the only person mutual we have with this person. Is this a friend or can I eviscerate them?
Yeah.
And usually they take them, they come and get them.
The idea of like, go get this person, it doesn't work with comedians. It just doesn't.
It doesn't work with anyone. She wanted you to come and she wanted you to defend.
She wanted me to talk.
Attack Jenna for that.
Get Jenna to take it down or something.
Right. Because she thought that it was offensive that the Brock Turner story came up again at all. Because again, that tweet that you just showed me, she does not mention the victim's name.
She only
mentions Brock Turner.
I mean, it's weird. Like, I was thinking, because I know now, I'm friends with, a little bit, and on Twitter, with someone whose relative was famously murdered by somebody. Okay. And so, I'll just put it in here.
Okay.
And I have since, you know, we follow each other on Twitter, thought, well, I'm probably not going to make jokes about the murderer anymore.
Right.
Even though the jokes would be about the fact that this person murdered, you know, just because I wouldn't want that popping up on her timeline, but I know her, you know?
Right. Right. So, and are you necessarily following, or is Jenna following the woman who wrote the article and came out and was really strong and told the good things. Yeah. That just seems busybody to me, man. Busybody in a satire joke. Like, the person was mad that they got taken for a buggy ride. Like, they're like, I believed that. And this is, and then literally found something to hold on to say, this is why it was offensive. It's because this is going to traumatize this woman and you should go get her. And so she probably DM'd Jenna too, right?
I don't know if Jenna has open DMs, but I mean, I think it's worth looking at if you're writing a joke about something like that, you know, like, Kathy Griffin held up the head of Trump, you know, Rosie O'Donnell, because the first thing I did when I saw that was like, oh my God, you know, like Daniel Pearl's family, Jamie Foley's family, like these two Americans that were beheaded. I was like, that's going to be all over. You know what I mean?
Great writing. That's my first thought, was not good writing, but I don't think she wrote it. I think that the photographer wrote it and he got no shit for it.
Yes, it's true. No, that's true. I'm just saying, like, do you have an obligation to think of the people that might be across this stuff, you know? Okay, and Rosie O'Donnell said to Kathy Griffin, she kind of pointed that out to her. I was like, I'm probably the only person thinking about other beheaded people. it felt like it, but you know, I don't know. I mean, I think when you're doing stand up, you're in a club, it's an enclosed environment, and unless you know a certain celebrities in the audience, you wouldn't know who's there. Mm-hmm. But when you're, you know, obviously on Twitter, anyone could read it and it can come across anyone's timeline. So I don't have any hard solutions. I'm just saying, like, I have thought about other tweets.
You've been thinking about it for a week. You're like, I'm seeing all these different sides, and that's cool. I mean,
I try to see a lot of sides. Yeah, I'm like Lady Justice, Jack.
That bitch.
No, but you know, you're not, I don't think you're weak if you go, you know what, I'm not sure I want this tweet popping up on this person's timeline because they follow me, or you know, they might be 2 degrees away from it. You know, like Monica Lewinsky doesn't follow me, but I wouldn't necessarily want to, you know, I like her and I know she's on Twitter, so I wouldn't want to like tweet something.
Yeah.
Might accidentally find it in front of her.
Well, and people tag when there's a joke about somebody. Yeah. There's always some dickweed who tags that person. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, if I wanted to tag them, I would have tagged them. You figure
they're always, those are the only people I commit to blocking. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's just awful.
Yeah.
But Jenna was like, fuck you. This is what I tweeted. And I agree with it. And I was like, I respect that too. You know what? If you're all in, you're all in. Good.
It was a hell of a joke. It was a really, really effective use of satire, I thought.
You can tell it was a great joke because of how many people thought it was true and how it kind of animated people, in my opinion. I mean, it's not an LOLer. That kind of stuff is never. It's
take burn,
a flashlight
man.
To, you know, a dark corner. Yeah.
It's unpile. It's like... It's Russell. He's under a pile of leaves. What? What just happened? Did I just dumb it down, turn it into somebody's dad's joke? What's a guy with no arms and no legs?
What the fuck are you talking about right now?
I don't know. I'm trying to contribute something to this fucking show. I'm so sorry.
Who's Russell? But who's Russell?
Keep going. Russell, it's an old... There used to be jokes. What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs under a pile of leaves?
Oh,
Russell.
Oh my God.
What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs who's been stapled to the wall? Art. What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs who's lying in front of a door? Matt. And it goes on like that until you take a bullet and you put it in a gun and you shoot yourself in the head. Anyway, so go ahead.
This is Nellie Acacian talking.
Please bring
back Jackie. Elliot, get out of your daughter. Bring back Jackie.
My father would never have told any of those jokes. He would have told some long, convoluted... I've talked to him a bunch this week. He's doing great. I sat next to a pool today. Somebody's pool in their backyard. We all sat a bunch of feet away and stared at each other, and it was lovely. And
you're invited. You're invited anytime you want. I had a couple pool parties. I didn't join in, but people... sat near my pool this week. Well,
their pool is completely in the shade and the heater is broken. So we just sat next to it in the shade and had wind and stuff. But it was a couple of hours of, it's been a while since I've just sat outside with other people and tried to have conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And it was lovely. But for some reason, I am exhausted. Just being in the presence of other humans, even 6 feet away, wearing masks.
But also outside in the sun is very tiring.
Yeah, we were in the shade, but doesn't matter. The sun gets through the shade.
It finds you, Jackie.
It finds me.
Yeah, I hope
more mosquito bites. I don't know what's happening. I think the earth is getting warmer because mosquitoes never used to exist in Los Angeles.
I am chronically itching myself because of mosquitoes. I was just outside like right before this podcast started reading. And I'm right now, I just want to scratch every part of my body, but it would be unseemly on Zoom.
All right. That is because we put these up on Patreon so people can see my round head. And I need a haircut so bad, I can't stand it. Anyway, let's see. I got a lot of information this week about stand-up comedy.
I want to hear it all.
Okay, the Chappelle summer camp, neither of us invited. But
we're permanently not in that cool circle forever, correct?
I think it's a comedy seller circuit.
But it's part LA too. It's two clicks I'm not in. It's very painful, those shows.
I don't know. I think cuz he had CK.
Yeah.
CK came, Chris Rock came.
Right, Sarah Silverman, that's L.A.
I didn't see one with Sarah Silverman, but maybe she came. Uh-huh. I know that John Mayer was at one. That was weird.
He's so funny. And you got to have John Mayer at your comedy show.
Why wouldn't you have John Mayer at your comedy show?
And Michelle Wolf is living there. she's quarantining with them.
Oh, that's...
You know, if I didn't have a kid and I had that invite, I would take it. How could... Yeah. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to quarantine with the Chappelle family and just do shows every single weekend outdoors. It sounds like heaven to me.
Well, we have a different version of heaven, my friend.
I need my own place because he smokes. But other than that, I'm all in.
Yeah, I don't know. It's two stony Stonersons. There's just two stony Magoos for me. And I don't want, it's going to be just a party, man. Everybody's going to be drinking and smoking and hanging out, maybe having a big, it's very 1995 for me. I can't do it. I want to do the sets and I want him to send his private jet to pick me up and people pay like.
Is that what he does? He picks people up?
I don't know.
Up?
That's the only question I really had about all this. I got like, he's done 34 shows this summer.
God damn.
That's so many shows, right?
Yes.
So it's Live Nation did all the ticketing, right? And production and assisted logistics, but he did it. He bought those fancy COVID tests that the president uses.
Wow.
That you get results in 20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had that? But just the comics and the staff get it. The audience doesn't get it. Maximum of 400 people.
Are they? They're masked though, right?
They're all masked and they're given a mask as a trinket. And and the tickets are $200 to $500 each. And you come and you sit outside and... he doesn't announce who the lineups are, but it's always Michelle Wolf, Mo Amer, Amer, if you don't know Mo, me neither, I don't know, and Donnell Rawlings.
Oh, yeah, Donnell Rawlings, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's a great show, so, I mean, all by itself, Chappelle, Michelle Wolf, and those two guys.
Yeah, Donnell was on Chappelle's show a lot, and he's hilarious, yeah.
Yeah, and... you know, they take the temperature of the audience. They give, I know Regan did one because then he went and did Bloomington Attic. He went and did the Comedy Attic this weekend.
Wait, let's go to the Comedy Attic later. We still got to talk about this. So we need acreage. We need to buy land in Central California so we can start doing comedy again.
Here's what infuriated me. You know how I always say I feel rich because I am?
yeah, right.
This is a whole new level of rich.
Oh yeah, when you told me, what that
you
one
could
person
ignore
made.
A global pandemic. You could ignore a global pandemic if you have $60 million that you can just.
Yeah, if you can, everyone can get a 20-minute test. They just hang out in a private room for 20 minutes, and then they're welcomed in to enjoy their week or month that you're in your life. Yeah, it's a different life for sure. I mean, yeah, I've read that, you know, like Silicon Valley, you know, entrepreneurs or whatever are doing that kind of shit too. But that's always existed. The uber wealthy have always found a way out of.
But I was so pleased in the Titanic, Jackie. What?
You know, I was so pleased with myself and how wealthy I had become. I was just so content with the fact that I feel, and there's no reason for me not to be. I'm very grateful. Yeah. But it's what sort of enraged me a little bit with just the sheer enormity of cash involved here to make this, to be ignored in the middle of Ohio. I mean, granted, it's Ohio, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it Ohio?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we need to be ignored in Ohio.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ohio, it's very laissez-faire anyway. So, you know, and he can do this, and it feels, you know, like, you know, we're all slightly being driven mad. You know, I mean, I just want to go to a coffee shop and have, you know, I want to go to a diner and sit around and have someone refill my coffee like 6 times.
Right.
And but. So, I mean, I'm happy these people are getting these sets. And then I did a guest set via Zoom into the room at Acme last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't have been more jealous. I'm full of FOMO.
Yes, I understand. Of live comedy jealousy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Who was live in the room?
It's Shane Torres was headlining.
Okay, Cool.
At Acme.
And then, how many people did they have?
70, and it seats, I think, 240.
So, and how, I mean, Lewis, he might not open his books up to you. How's he doing? Is he breaking even, or is he?
I didn't talk to him about it. I wanted to sort of, because I wanted, you know, I want to ask him all of the questions. I want to ask Jared at Bloomington. I want to ask Dave and Angela in Seattle. I want to
watch. Are they doing shows?
No, I don't know. But I want to ask, but club owner wise, I want to ask every club owner that I know specifically well enough. I want to call Wendy at their works and go, did you get that PPE? Did you get that? And because I want them to, right? I want them to have gotten it.
The PPP loan, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but you told me that the only ones that are public are the ones over 350,000, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to ask all those questions and, but it feels rude. It feels too much. It feels too soon. So I just asked for a guest set. And I did about 10 and the audience was spread out. I could barely hear them. They have to figure out how to mic the audience a little bit better. And it was very funny. Mike Hurley was emceeing. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, I'm going to introduce your guest set from all over the world. And then like the screen came down and it took a full like 6
minutes. Oh my God. Hilarious.
It could not have been more anti.
Were you unfolding in front of the audience?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
It was unfortunate. And then, I mean, the timing, I think you got to figure that out. But there is a great picture on my Instagram that that Brandon, one of the managers over there, took of the set. And it's I mean, it looked pretty cool. And it's kind of a cool, and it's a very cool idea, actually, because then anybody can come in and do a set. Mm-hmm. But I think they do have to figure out. I mean, it's got kinks like everything. And they're pushing the in-room show to Zoom, and they are selling some tickets for people who aren't willing to come out.
Yeah.
So they sold 70 in-person tickets, and I don't know how many internet tickets, but anybody could buy that ticket.
Yeah.
If you love cool. Chayne Torres.
Yeah.
Anybody, you're like, do you have $10? You can watch that show. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you're watching him stand and perform and not stand in front of a computer. So that's a different kind of comedy that you're watching.
As opposed to
what you're being offered now, which is us in our houses, you know?
Right. And he's got it was a 3 or 4 cameras shoot. And while I was watching the MC, because I went up right after the MC, obviously, Brandon was doing camera 3, camera 1. He was switching.
Hmm.
So the Zoom audience was getting a different angle.
Oh, that's cool.
And it looks really, I mean, I think they changed their Instagram name to Acme Comedy Company Studios.
That's great. Well, the thing is, I mean, I feel if clubs can do this, like in that kind of a way that seems super safe.
Yeah.
It's better to be in business a little bit than to
not be
get used business. To being shut down. Don't you think a little bit?
Yes.
If the whole thing is shut, you know, everyone quits, everyone goes on. At some point you're like, why would I open this thing back up again? You know?
Right.
And at least Lewis he's still in, he's still a club owner. It's still happening. It's still the same rhythms every week, but it's a little bit different. And the money probably sucks a lot, but you're still in business.
But you're still in business and you're rebuilding something laterally, right?
Yeah.
You're rebuilding something, which I think is kind of exciting too,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And if anyone can do it, quite honestly, Lewis Lee. The guy's an incredibly good businessman and really, really smart. So.
And it would seem like it would be a single club owner as opposed to a brand, a chain, because you just have so many layers of bureaucracy in a chain, right?
Yeah. Though I know that Molly over at the Punchline, she's using both Sacramento's list and San Francisco's list and putting on 2 shows a week.
Oh, cool.
Though I don't think they're doing any live stuff, not even in Cobbs, which has that weird vaulted ceiling anyway.
Yeah, but San Francisco is really shut down right now.
Yeah.
California is just in a horrible place. But both Northern and Southern California are just, there's COVID everywhere. And Plus, there's fires. It's fucking awful right now in California.
Yeah. It's things are on fire, you guys.
I mean, the thing about Chappelle is it's in Ohio. It's in a very open space. I mean, you know, I wonder, do we know anyone with land, like a ranch in Wyoming, that we could all fly out to and have like a little show? I mean, it wouldn't be worth the money though. Fuck. Right. It sounds fun.
Yeah. We could, if you're better off, we're better off driving out to somebody who owns something in Palm Springs, you know?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, and granted, it's August, about to be September in Palm Springs. So welcome to 111 degrees. But it is, but yeah, that would be, yeah. I mean, Live Nation would probably help if we wanted to do it. You want to do it?
I don't think they'd help us do it. I think
they might.
You go, great idea. Let's contact somebody more famous.
You don't know. We almost do know. Because we're currently being trolled by Netflix as a joke.
I'm about to block Netflix. I can't take it. It's
yeah, so cool. Every day, every like once or twice a day, they say, who would you like to see do a special? Mm-hmm. And every day, 4 to 10 different people say us.
Yeah.
And all it is me just being reminded that they don't. Mm-hmm. And it's the JFL guy, right?
I don't know who's running. I don't think he's running their social media. I'm sure that's a different asshole completely. That's I mean, he's not it. Robbie Craw is the head of Netflix. And then Joanne, who used to be at Comedy Central. And I think I have decent relationships with both of them, but, you know.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I don't. I've been to Montreal a couple times. Robbie's invited me to Montreal a few times.
Oh, there you go.
Well.
Yeah, I know.
Remember when I said I had a 3-camera shoot?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. What happened with the file?
Oh, that was the other drama. Okay, so.
That was the drama, yeah.
Jackie, I was like. I was like, okay, because I had one, my sound guy, Mark, also recorded on a 4K, right?
Okay.
Show. And then the feature that week is Cody Woods, and he's got like, you know, Scorsese level cameras. These are great times if you're a camera nerd. So right. He recorded some shows. So I was like, in my head, I have 3 cameras. Well, okay. I had 2.
Okay.
And they, you know, not every single show, but most of the shows. But that's not enough, apparently, to do something.
Or to pitch?
Okay. But I didn't know that at first. So I'm like, okay, I got it. I know it's on a hard drive. He gave me a hard drive. I ended up doing, Jackie, you'd be so impressed by my level of detective work. Once I realized it's not in the house.
Right.
Like, oh my God, it could be in New York. And then I go back, I was reading our email chain with my Cody, and I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, I gave him a hard drive that had stuff on it. It could be that one. It was all coming together for me. I was like, yes. And then I bought a plane ticket to New York. I was going to fly out on Tuesday and fly back on Thursday and take Mint on the way back.
And you called me and you were like, I know where it is in New York. And I was like, roommate. And you're like, in Atlanta. And I was like, I said, I have to say this. Feel free to ignore it, but this is a terrible idea. And you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go Mint on the way back. So,
well, yeah, because I have a ton of miles. And so I got the ticket. And then it turns out Cody has a copy of it. Still, he kept it on some hard drive. And, you know, people just have hard drive. When they start doing that, they never throw anything away, right?
Right.
So he found it. And I'll just get it locally and then I return the ticket. But I was like, all right, I'm going to obviously double mask, face guard. And then I read this article on the Daily Beast that says nose breathing, your nose, because it provides nitrous oxide, it helps in reducing the transmission of COVID if you're breathing it in through your nose.
Okay.
So then I'm like, what if I just have a pacifier and I put it in my mouth on this flight so that I won't subconsciously start breathing through my mouth, because you can't pay attention to what your breath. So I bought some pacifiers. Well, then the trip was canceled, but I still used the pacifier today when I was shopping. I felt so, I was like, come did you get also, me. You was can't it cozy? Get me, COVID.
Yeah. Did it, was it also kind of soothing? And you're just like, oh, this is like I'm back on a bottle.
Yes, it and, was soothing. It was.
I love Kyle's like.
This is weird.
Hey, do you want to do some sort of break or where are we?
We're just about a half an hour. Let's do that break.
Schmanners. Noun. Definition. Rules of etiquette designed not to judge others, but rather to guide ourselves through everyday social situations.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
Every week on Schmanners, we take a look at a topic that has to do with society or manners. We talk about the history of it. We take a look at how it applies to everyday life. And we take some of your questions. And sometimes we do a biography about a really cool person that had an impact on how we view etiquette. So join us every Friday and listen to Schmanners on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Manners, schmanners. Get it?
Let's do that break, and then let's do that comic of the week. Here's what I want. I want us to do more comics of the week of women our age and older.
Yeah.
That we haven't really, that occasionally get to, you ever talk to a comic and they're like, yeah, I saw somebody the other day, and they're like, are you still doing stand-up? And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. And yes. This is what has happened. So Liz Winstead tells me that people ask her that. And I was like, nope. Liz Winstead, first of all, every year does like sort of an Andy Kindler State of the Union, but she's a political comic. Liz, LizWinstead, one of the co-creators of The Daily Show, ladies and gentlemen, literally has been just doing stand-up and doing writing and all of these things for decades. And every year in Minneapolis, for sure, she's been working on, she works on the set all year long, like Kindler does, except for that it's all political. It's a state of the unions, not state of the industry.
Yeah.
So Liz Winstead, you guys, find her.
She's great. Yeah.
She
people don't know, but she does so much work on abortion rights. I think that's what.
Yeah.
Abortion rights is her dead parents. To me, right? People just know my parents are dead. That's it. That's all they know about me.
Right. And she started this thing called Lady Parts Justice League, which was named after some guy who in the Michigan State Senate couldn't use the word vagina and didn't want to use them to use the word vagina in legislation. And the woman rep who was had written the legislation, she was like, "That's the medical term. What term do you want me to use?" And he goes, I don't know, lady parts.
Oh my
and
God.
So Liz Winstead named her activist thing Lady Parts Justice League. And then that was around for like 4 or 5 years and they changed the name because it wasn't inclusive enough. And
Right.
And she said, oh, well, we're not trying to do that. We'll change it to Abortion Access Front, which the t-shirt has the word abortion and then the letters AF.
Lucky, you know what? She gave me one and my son wears it. He wore it to school last year as often as he wore a Marvel t-shirt.
Yeah.
Well, I've asked her for one for decades. for moments, I've asked her. And what I have to do is I just have to ask her again. So anyway, Liz Winstead. That's
okay. Guess what? We were being silly last week with Gianmarco Cerisi's last name, and I heard about it. But
did he call you?
No, just a DM, just to remind me what his last name was. But you know what? That was stupid. We're stupid. And
did it actually hurt his feelings?
No, it didn't hurt his feelings.
Oh.
I was hurt my feelings. I hurt my own feelings.
Oh, you hurt your own feelings? And so you want to...
Everyone has a name and they deserve to have, you know what? This fucking podcast is making me memorize male comics names. Now,
Not doing it. Sebastian Cerisi, forever.
Very funny. And go find him. He's great on Twitter. Like, I think we had met once at the Broadway and we've done some Zoom shows together, but he started popping up on my timeline as jokes on Twitter. They're really funny.
Good.
Wow.
And I liked his joke about grandmas. It was a COVID grandma joke that was super dark and very funny. And I worked with him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, but I
had, so I get a text, I get an email from Sam Talent, who's a Denver comic.
Mm-hmm.
And he, and I told you a little bit about this, but I'll recap it for the listener. So Sam Talent, Denver comic, has written a book, and he asked me if I would read one of the chapters for the audio version.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sent me a list of the comics that are already doing it. It's Kyle Kinane, Doug Stanhope. And I was like, well, what does that pay? Because that's what I'm like. And because I have to make some sort of a living right now.
Yes.
And he was like, I don't know. I don't know. What would you charge? And I was like, well, what are you paying the guys? And then it turns out those two guys are super close friends with Sam Talent and are volunteering. They're doing it for free.
And here's what you fucked yourself over, Jackie.
I didn't fuck myself over because I am not close friends with Sam Talent. He is a very nice man and a good comic. And I want to get into, I want to get into all kinds of things, voiceover, yes. Audiobook reading, animated series, all these things. I want to get into all of these industries. But so I said, you know, I will, I'll do it for, I don't know, half of SAG or something, because I don't think it's a union gig anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but I said, I have to read the book. And so I ordered the book and I got the book and it's called Running the Light.
Cool. Is it hardback or softback?
This is softback, but it's, okay. Yeah. And it's 1 week. Every chapter is a day. So Kinane wrote the prologue, and this is his first book, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it starts on Monday and it goes through Sunday. And so there's, you know, seven chapters and then a weird thing. But here's the thing about this book, you guys got to read this book. First of all, I'll say this straight up. Sam Talent is an amazing writer. The prose on this thing is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
He has, in his 13 years of doing stand-up comedy, clearly been listening to every story from the 70s and 80s and 90s, because I read that book. I have PTSD, man. It's fucking brutal. It is literally the story of a fictional guy in a non-fictional world. Mm-hmm. And every story sounds vaguely like I've heard those. Augie Smith has told me these stories. I've lived some of these stories. I've met these guys. And this is not it's neither a vilification nor a glorification. Mm-hmm. People will take it as both, right? And I will say that the stuff that he has written around this stuff is beautiful. It's literally evocative.
Wow.
Who the fuck wants to hear that from a comic? He's like,
I don't want to hear that word from you ever again.
It does feel like a moist word for someone.
You.
But I will say this is that, because, you know, all of those stories, those road stories, those drug stories, those sex stories, those shitty dude male comic stories,
mm-hmm.
and they almost exclusively are, they belong to all of us, right?
They what?
They kind of belong to all of us as comics, right? Because we tell those stories to each other. We laugh and thank the baby Jesus that we are not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're like, I was there when he had the bloody nose and he was like, you guys don't party? And, you know, or the guy with the guitar that beat the heckler.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those stories feel like they belong to all of us. And so him using those stories in this book, my initial reaction was like, hey, man, you don't. And then I was like, but he's done such a beautiful job with it.
Mm-hmm.
That it was super incredibly powerful. And then the material in it, get this, the jokes, it's comedy. It's 7 days of essentially shows.
Cool.
And him working the crowd. And what they are is it's all stock. It's all, the jokes are all stock. Many of them hacky, many of them not hacky, genuinely funny, but and I recognized every single line,
mm-hmm.
but they're all stock. Like, he's not stealing anyone's act. But then in it, he's also mentioned like Norm Macdonald and Roseanne. And there's a very there's a very funny Norm MacDonald sort of climactic. I don't want to ruin it. But the thing is he mentions like clubs and club owners, and it's super weird. It's weird. I'm like, aren't you playing? You're not gonna...
real club owners' names?
Real club owners' names.
In
real
a novel?
Comics. Real comics.
Wow. Names.
The main character is fictionalized.
Interesting.
But did you ever do Wits End outside of Denver?
John Cooney! Yes! Yes! Many times. He's one of the first real clubs to headline me.
Because and when you say real clubs, you're talking about a C club. Congratulations.
Excuse me, and fuck you too.
That is not, it's a weekend room, and that guy was such a, I did it for years. It was such a piece of shit room, though. The audience was great.
It was a good room. The condo sucked. That's when,
You had to pay.
Yeah. But the guy whose wife took all the hangers, so I didn't have anything to hang my clothes on. What's his name?
Why would he leave the hangers? Why would he leave the hangers?
They ended up getting divorced. I was like, good.
Well, I'm the asshole, but you're like, good. Congratulations for getting divorced.
She was an awful person. They shifted into the condo early. They took the headliner room. He was headlining. Oh, fuck. Who is he? And his stupid fucking cunt wife went into the feature room and took all the hangers out of my closet. I didn't have, and I was wearing dresses back then, Jackie. That was in my dress phase. I had to hang that shit up. I didn't have any hangers.
That's your fault for fucking being in a dress phase. What are you, took that animal?
It made the male bookers book me more. The guy from Chattanooga loved it.
No, that's you got club owners going, all right, I get to see an ankle. So
they wore long dresses, but yes, yeah, so.
But what my problem with Wits End was the same problem I think a lot of people did, which was he wouldn't pick you up from the airport, so it was $100 to take a cab, there and back. You were only making $600 to
$800 headline.
Yeah, I was $800 to headline.
Yeah.
And there wasn't, they wouldn't, the feature, the week that I was, the first week I was there, I ended up staying with a friend of mine. I was like, I'm not staying here. Please come pick me up. So, and then my friend lent me her minivan, and the feature was like, hey, I had Slim Jims for dinner. Would you go take me to a grocery store? They wouldn't take me to a grocery store. Like the feature
Slim
was staying there.
For dinner. Because
the only thing that was in walking distance was a liquor store.
Of course.
And you're like, oh, great. Pork rinds and Slim Jims again. And so what I'm saying is that guy ran a tight ship, a tight shitty ship.
Right.
And but it's in the book. But just the names of the clubs and the venues and the rooms and
wow, you know, that might make me jump out of my skin to read.
It made me jump out of my skin, Kilmartin, because I'll tell you something. It was literally PTSD because it could have been me, right? And you know, and I was talking to one of the younger crowd. You know the younger crowd.
Yes. They're all over the place. Congrats to them.
And this one was talking about, you know, how glorifying and how cool it all sounded. And I was like, nope, not cool.
Oh,
this is, and she was like, yeah, well, you know, and she didn't mean it, but it felt like I was being, you ever get that where you feel like you're being challenged? Like you didn't have a shitty enough life or a shitty enough road. And I was like, hey man, you know, if you Googled my name in the late 90s, the first thing that came up was Doug saying that I was fun to party with. So don't tell me that I wasn't a piece of shit, because I was a piece of shit on the road. And it's so gross. And
I should still be your number two credit after this podcast, quite frankly.
After this podcast. Oh, that's so funny. Anyway, I can't wait. I quite honestly, this was so terrifying to me. Sam Talent's book, Running the Light, that I can't wait till he writes another book, because his writing is very beautiful. But I don't want that anymore. I don't want any more of that. I lived that.
That's cool.
Want to do a second break?
Sure.
Listen, I'm a hotshot Hollywood movie producer. You have until I finish my glass of kombucha to pitch me your idea. Go.
All right, it's called Who Shot Ya? A movie podcast that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes. I'm Iffy Whiteyway, the new host of the show and a certified BBN.
BBN?
Buff black nerd.
I'm Alonzo Duraldi, an elderly gay and legit film critic who wrote a book on Christmas movies.
I'm Drea Clark, a loud white lady from Minnesota.
Each week, we talk about a new movie in theaters and all the important issues going on in the film industry.
It's like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner meets Cruising.
And if it helps seal the deal, I can flex my muscles while we record each episode.
I'm sorry, this is a podcast? I'm a movie producer. How did you get in here?
Iffy, quick, start flexing.
Bicep, lats, chest. Who Shot Ya? Dropping every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. Did you have shows this week? Did you have shows last
week? I did. I had on Thursday, I had two shows and they were like almost back to back, and they were all both hosted by San Francisco comics. It was really crazy. In Gayo Bilam, I did his 420 show. It's
nice.
Pardon?
Nice. Great.
You know Gayo, right?
Yeah. He's great. Yeah. Gayo Bilam. Awesome.
Yeah. And his daughter went to Sarah Lawrence. It's so funny when comics have kids and they're like successful and stuff. It's just crazy to me. That was a lot of fun. And then Marga Gomez was doing she does it once a month. They're trying to keep a small theater in the Mission open. And the Mission, of course, is, you know, being turned into like just a Twitter warehousing academy.
That's a neighborhood in San Francisco.
Pardon?
That's a neighborhood in San Francisco, if somebody doesn't know that. Yeah.
So they're trying to keep that theater alive and keep it in the Mission where it's been since its inception many, many decades ago. And so that was fun too. It was cool to do those shows. And then I just had one. I did Mike Kaplan had a show with the Nowhere Club, and I did a set on that one. And nice.
I did a Nowhere show. Ben Glebe and Greg Proops.
Yeah.
Did an improv show, and I did a set on that.
Oh, wow.
And then
was there how many audience members did they have?
I think 150.
Wow. That's, yeah, pretty you good. Know, I think things are kind of audience. I mean, you know, in terms of viewership, I guess, or audience membership wise, or whatever it is, it seems to be sliding. Like everyone's fucking over everything, and even Zoom comedy isn't exciting. So 150 for those guys, that's great.
That's respectable. That's super. Yeah, it's great. And I did that. And then I did a Friday night show. Because this weekend's been so busy and I couldn't do today.
Yeah.
So instead of doing my regular Sunday show, I did a Friday night show. And I asked you if you wanted to do a guest set. You could not.
Right.
And so I got Kira and Aaron Foley. Both did sets.
That was fun, man.
It was super fun. They were hilarious, as you can imagine. Proops, Crystal. Oh, what is her last name? Crystal, who hosted the Proops Ben Glebe? Crystal with a K, I think. She's great. Anyway.
Oh, she's been a comic of the week, right?
She's been a comic of the week, yeah. Oh,
fuck, I forget her last name too.
Hey, did you put up, so we have a fan, Byron, who made a Spotify list.
I'm putting it on our, it will be up on our thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you can do the link also to Amy Miller made a Pandora list. So Byron makes a Spotify list. So if you listen to Spotify, you can listen to Comics of the Week Spotify list. Or if you use Pandora, Amy Miller made a Pandora list, and you can listen to it on Pandora.
It'll be on our Comic of the Week webpage when this loads. Crystal Adams.
Oh, yeah. That sounds right.
Right.
Anyway, she was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just did the Acme set, and the bits are coming along. Actually, on the Good Friday set, I just did 30, right? And I decided to open with my closer, and then just see where it went, and try it went somewhere really cool. It went somewhere really good. I was pretty psyched about it, which just infuriated me that I wasn't in front of 240 people.
Right. So I felt a little closed off for a while, and now I feel open again. I don't know why. Maybe it's all the house cleaning and everything.
That's hopeful. That's awesome.
But I do feel like, oh, I want to start just putting out, doing a half hour show or something, just letting people know it's happening. So I should just figure out what you do. So this week, this is our last hiatus week was this week.
Okay.
And so I
start back up tomorrow or
Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah. I went into the kitchen, and the kitchen is not a place I feel comfortable. I was always watched as a child, you know, by my mother, those giant green eyes watching me put food in my mouth. And so I never felt comfortable there. And I've always tried to, I took cooking lessons, and then my dad started dying, and then then my mom moved in, and then it was all just what it just took over. Yeah. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to look at what I have in the kitchen. I don't understand many of these devices. They're intimidating to me. I don't know what they do, and I don't know what food I'm supposed to do them with. Okay. And I started, just trying to figure them out and dust them off and just label them right. And I had stuff, aspirational cooking that I wanted to do when my kid was seven. I was I'm going to make a cake and I'm going to put food coloring in it. I never did it, but I still had the food coloring. I was
I don't know if the food coloring goes bad. Coloring goes bad. So,
I threw it away.
Did you label? Oh, okay.
I threw a ton of shit away. And then I feel like, I made rice. It's no big deal to most people, but it's a big deal to me.
That's a big deal. Every food that you make from a box or a fucking, that's amazing. I think that's awesome. Did you make it on the stove or do you have a rice cooker? What do you got?
I put the rice cooker out and somebody's already taken it because it's too many. It's also a steamer and a this and a that. I'm like, it's too much. I just want a pan that I can make rice in. I don't want to look at the rice cooker and be reminded I'm not fucking steaming vegetables. It's like Netflix is a joke to us, right? Like, I don't need to be reminded what I don't do.
Ruled by appliances. Fair enough. So you made it in a pan just on top of the stove.
I did. So that was exciting. And then I'm like, maybe this is, slowly I'll just turn into, somebody that can do these things. And I'll also overcome this food kitchen phobia I have and this incredible discomfort being in that space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. It's I think that is shrewd. We have like a second life to our tomato plants. They got fried because it got all super hot here.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden new growth, new flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're gonna get another crop of tomatoes.
Wow.
So I'm psyched. We have zucchinis coming. We have so many zucchinis. Get this. The neighbors pretended not to be home.
They don't want your zucchinis.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why are you growing this vegetable nobody likes and nobody wants?
Like it. But there's always a point. It doesn't matter. I planted one fucking zucchini plant. But I remember when I was a kid, this used to happen. And the first time I planted zucchini plants here in Los Angeles, I planted three, which meant that at one point I had Karen Rontowski film me flyering people with zucchinis at a Home Depot underneath their car, their windows. And we never did anything with that video, but it made me laugh to even film it. And so we still have a lot of veg coming in. We got spaghetti squash. We got cantaloupe. That's just a volunteer. Cantaloupe just fucking growing and a watermelon just growing.
That's amazing.
That's where seeds were.
Wow.
And, we bought a big table for the room. I'm in the guest bedroom right now because the other room is too echoey still. So we're getting curtains on Tuesday.
A rug, right? You need a rug?
I got a rug. I got a table now. There's a nice big round table that will be perfect for gaming and for podcasting. And
you need an old medieval tapestry on the wall.
Yes, I need either tapestries. I'm going to put very long curtains.
Oh.
And that should deaden some of it. Like the curtain's going to go over most of the sliding door.
Yeah.
And over the window. So cool. It should deaden the sound a fair amount as well.
What about, tell us, before we go, what about Brian Regan at Jared's room? Tell me.
Yeah, so I got a text message with a picture of Brian Regan doing the Comedy Attic, and I was like, oh my God, he's right there. And it was, so Jared's got the room open, and he's only doing a third or something like that. And everybody's spaced out. Everybody has to wear masks except for when you're eating.
I don't understand clubs not forcing the audience to wear masks. I don't understand that. It's so simple. It's going to cut back on so many transmissions.
Yeah.
You protect the comic. I don't understand why.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Staff. It's not that big of a deal. And Jared insists that they keep wearing it. Like on their head, you know, either up high or down around their neck or something, so they can bring it up quick if they have to cough or if the waitress comes up.
What? No, you don't take it off to cough in a pandemic. You leave it on to cough.
No. If you have to cough and it's down, you can bring it back up really fast.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yes. And so. And
plus your pacifier. I mean, you're going to cough that out of your mouth. Come on.
That fucking pacifier is just weird.
It's real creepy.
Okay.
Guess what? I'm still alive, Jackie. Is that weird too?
Yeah, but we are too. And we didn't do that.
Really, let me take my oxygen saturation level right now. Did you guys get yours?
Not yet.
Did you send us?
Yeah. They're coming. It's backlogged.
I'm excited.
95, bitch. I'm in pretty good health right now.
That's right. You got a lot of oxygen going on.
I do.
Right now. Well played. So I got a set at noon in the UK this week. I was inspired by your three-camera shoot by dashing off an email asking if somebody wanted to buy Horcrux, which is the only 3-4-camera thing I've got.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't had wide release. Is it wide release if it's just my DVD? No, that's very, very limited release.
Can you type in who you talked to about that?
Yeah, So I got an email. I got an email for a person, and I gave it a shot. Guess what? Hey. Haven't heard back. So
right. I know.
You gotta run up the flagpole, man.
I I'm probably gonna release this CD, of this punchline sets. But part of me is like, is there any way I can do something? I've got like 22 minutes plus. Can I just do it? An hour now in a backyard, please, because it takes me so long to write material that if I put this stuff on a CD or in an album, then it's never going to be on a special or anything. And I got to fucking start over practically from scratch. And I don't know.
So I just recorded many Dork for us this week, and one of them was Nori Davis and Blonde Medicine, Dominic Del Bene, hero of the world, put out Nori Davis. He's a brand new album that he recorded on Zoom that is on Amazon right now. Nori Davis, and I forget what it's called, but he just did Dork for us about sneakers, whatever. But he came on, he had a new album out. Sophia Alexandra has a new album out.
Alexander. Yes, she does. Yes.
Nice.
No, I don't mean a new album. I'm saying a special. Like once I put that material.
Video.
Yes. Video. Like, can I do that? Would anyone buy it? If I'm going to go to all this trouble and not release an album that I'm like halfway done, ready to do and do some of that material over again, plus this stuff am I now going to be $25,000 in the hole again, hoping some streaming service will be interested in it?
Which is what, didn't you end up breaking even?
On
45 debts? 45 minutes?
Jokes, yeah, on a streaming service that went bankrupt. So that doesn't really help me sell anything else.
Right, but you didn't make them go bankrupt. And then you got that property back, right? That's yours again.
Yes.
So that, I mean, I think that's a win. Like, I never got my money back.
I'm not talking about that anymore. I'm talking about now. Do I go to the trouble?
No, I would say spend the money now on doing the show you want to do outside in a yard or some fucking thing, and believe that someone will buy it.
Do you know what a nightmare? How long? Jackie, there's so many jokes. I'm like, thank God I'm never telling this one again. Bye-bye, joke. And now I've got to bring it back again.
Then don't sweat it. Put your fucking album out that you recorded over the week at Punchline. Just put that out. And then by the time we're out of this, you will have new material. You're fine. Then you don't have to do those jokes again. You're like, I know that you want, the thing is we're comics. So you just want to be booked. You don't want to have to think too much. You just want to be booked. You want to sell the shit and then move on.
You have to make me sound like I have an IQ of 7 or something.
No, that's not what it is. I want too, you know?
But what we both want is the same opportunities the younger comics are getting now, you know, like that's what I want. And I think you want that too. That's why you just emailed that company, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, every time I see like HBO Max is doing specials, who else is doing? Every time I'm like, oh, you guys are doing specials. You're shooting them outside. Yeah, I have time. No, you're good. Okay.
I know. And so I feel the same.
I know. So I want to spin. I want to, I give myself a minute to get mad about it. You know, people say, you know, and if I give myself a minute to go mad about it and I do it publicly, then I'm told that I'm clearly a bitter old bitch that hates men. And but if I don't do it publicly, I guess I win. Because then
I don't know.
Think that I'm Zen fucking comic who's like, as it goes, man, it's going to be fun.
Hey. At our funerals, people will say, wow, she never complained about not getting any sort of respect from actual networks, you know? Well, yeah, I did fucking complain. I guess I didn't do it loud enough, you know? I don't know what we're supposed to do. I don't know.
I don't
know. We're supposed to go in the hole during a pandemic. We're supposed to spend $25,000 of our own money during a pandemic when everything might collapse. Right?
Yeah. I gotta go.
It's so frustrating.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.